It's my turn green. We'll start off with a little joke. There were two guys running away from a bear that was chasing them, and one guy turns to the other guy and he says, "I wonder if we can outrun the bear." He says, "I'm not worried about outrunning the bear. All I have to do is outrun you." So hitting the wall is a runner's term, and it refers to those times in life when we feel like we just can't go on. We feel like some or other, unless we get a new inspiration, we get our fire back, we get a second wind, that we're just not going to be able to drag on anymore. We don't feel like what we're doing, pursuing our dreams, stretching our faith, maturing, is worth it anymore. We all have times when we get tired. We have times when you're just tired of studying in school. We're tired sometimes of running a business, tired of biting our tongue and keeping peace in the family, tired of dealing with a health issue, tired of being lonely and waiting to meet the right person. Even sometimes doing what we love. We have a great family, great kids, we have a supportive wife, we enjoy our job. Still, if we're not careful, we can lose our passion and we can allow weariness to set in. I remember I was in Phoenix selling cookies to raise money for this temple many years ago, and they have a running area in Phoenix called South Mountain. And I saw a newspaper article about a trail race that was going to occur the following Saturday. And I like to break up the monotony of selling cookies by running a race every once in a while. But I didn't want anything particularly difficult. So I went out early in the week, I found a trailhead, and I just ran a couple of miles in to see how it was. And it was flat, it was level, it was all dirt, it was great. And so I went ahead and paid the fee and signed up. The next Saturday the gun went off and we all took off, 120 runners. It was a 12-mile race. And sure enough, the first 1 or 2 miles were great. But then the terrain changed. It started going up and down and around. There were gullies and there were these huge rocks sticking up right in the middle of the trail. And if you're a runner, in the beginning of the race, when you're fresh, it's easy to pick up your feet and step over the rocks. But as the race goes on, and as you get tireder and tireder, and the race takes longer than you thought it would, and maybe you're not in quite as good a shape as you thought you were, and the course is a little or a lot more tough than you anticipated it would be, you can't quite always pick up your foot to clear the rocks. 3 times during the course of the race, my foot snagged a rock and I went down. And when I went down, I would hit other sharp rocks, so blood started flowing from my elbows and my knees. But I kept running, I kept running, I kept running. I came about 3/4 of the way through the race. I'm tearing around a hill, going on a downhill, and there are 2 kids on bicycles, not moving, facing each other, talking over the handlebars, right in my way. So there's no way I can stop. I just go carooming right through them. We all end up on a ball in the ground, a tangle of wheels and handlebars and arms and legs, and I'm there bleeding, and I'm thinking, what am I doing this for? Is this really worth it? So what do you do in life when the race is longer and harder than you thought? You pray. I did finish the race, by the way. I figured it was only another mile to go. I've come this far. Why not go another mile? I did read later on in the race wrap-up article the next week, I read that that is considered to be the toughest trail race in the entire state of Arizona. So I was glad that they went the extra mile. I finished the toughest trail race in the state of Arizona. I thought it was going to be easy, but it wasn't. Anyway, you prayed, you hoped, you put your faith out there, but you still haven't gotten well. You still haven't gotten out of debt. You still haven't met the right person. You still haven't got the right job. Your ministry still hasn't taken off. You've been chanting Hare Krishna for all of 6 months, and you're still not a pure devotee. What happens when weariness sets in and it threatens to steal away your joy and it threatens to steal away the enthusiasm and inspiration that you once had? Sometimes as older devotees, we'll see a new person coming to the temple and they're chanting and dancing and going way up in the air, and we feel a little estranged from them. What happened? Fatigue set in. When we first became devotees, however long it was, our lives changed dramatically. We gave up bad habits, we got a vision, we got an inspiration, we got an idea of what our purpose was, and we were on fire. And it all appeared so clearly before us that we were going to become pure devotees in 6 months, maybe a year maximum, and we were going to go out and chant in the streets, and the whole world was going to be chanting Hare Krishna within 1 or 2 years. I mean, after all, Lord Chaitanya said, Pritivi Teya Chaitanya, Bhutto Nagara Digram Sarvachapuchevai Moinam. That every town and village will resound with the chanting of Hare Krishna in due course of time. But it didn't happen as quickly and as easily as we expected. Because the forces of illusion, the forces that keep us here entangled in this material world of birth and death, are very, very strong. We have to show that we're more determined to get out of the clutches of illusion than illusion or Maya is to keep us here. Prabhupada warned us that we'd have to have persistence and we'd have to have patience and we'd have to run our whole course to the end. Many people start the race, but far fewer finish the race than start the race. So Prabhupada said you have to run your whole race. And when you, at the end of the race, hear the Lord saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," then you know you've done what it takes to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Prabhupada said, "Don't be surprised who leaves, be surprised who stays." When weariness sets in, we get tempted to quit pursuing our dreams, quit growing, quit stretching, quit trying for excellence in all that we do. I read a book about church congregations. A lot of congregations in America are under threat. In fact, all over the world. They're shrinking. Some are growing, but most are shrinking. And there are two reasons why people don't go to a church. They may go once, but there are two reasons why they don't go back. One is the sermon's boring, and the other is the congregation's not so friendly. People have gotten into the rut of thinking, you know, we haven't had any new people join, our ranks haven't grown for so long, it's not going to happen. So when a new person comes through the door, they say, well, they're not going to come back. They've already decided they're not going to come back, they're not going to join, they're not going to show. So they're not friendly. So you don't actually have to wait to hear the sermon to determine whether the church is growing or not. You just wait and see whether the congregational members are smiling at you, whether they're welcoming you, whether they're infecting you with enthusiasm. You can see more from the greeters than you can actually from the sermon, whether it's a growing, vital, healthy congregation. If you get a good big hug and a smile when you come, you know that's a growing congregation. But what those congregational members have to remember is that someone greeted them with enthusiasm. That's how they became part of the church. So they need to not let weariness set in. They need to get their second wind back some or other and start greeting newcomers with the same level of enthusiasm that somebody greeted them in the beginning. I heard about a lady. She had just done a 6-month course of chemotherapy. And the treatment had done some good, but when she went in for a checkup, they told her that she would have to do the very same treatment for another 6 months. She said, "I don't think I can do this for another 6 months." On the way to our victory, we're always going to have to face what's called the weariness test. The test where we're tempted to cease and desist in the pursuit of our college degree, in the pursuit of our health, in the pursuit of our marriage, in the restoration of our kids. That test never comes when we're fresh, when we're enthusiastic. It never comes at the beginning. It always comes somewhere later on in the course. I heard another joke I'll share with you. You may not get this. You kind of have to be a runner again to get this. But marathons are 26 miles, okay? People always ask, how long's a marathon? For your information, marathons are 26 miles. At one point, they thought the human body was not able to run more than 22 miles. They thought it was physically impossible. In fact, they've actually proved it, just like they proved that no one can hit a fastball. But anyway, somehow that happens, right? So the joke is sort of a visual one. There are two vultures sitting on a signpost, and it says, marathon, mile 22. The one vulture turns to the other vulture and he says, "I had real good luck here last year." You got it. We hear from the Krishna book a story about a demoniac king named Jarasandha who conquered in battle and captured and imprisoned for a long time over 20,000 kings. These kings were in prison for a long time. They lost their muscle tone. They lost their military skills. Their daughters got married. Their wives got remarried. Their lives went on without them. They lost their youth. And finally, Krishna defeated Jarasandha and released all the kings. And here's a little bit of the description. They emerged from the Giri fortress. They appeared dirty and shabbily dressed. They were emaciated by hunger. Their faces were dried up, and they were greatly weakened by their long imprisonment. Sometimes we can reach stages in our life where we identify with this bone-deep fatigue and bone weariness. But they snapped right out of it. It says that when they saw Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had descended in his most beautiful feature as Shyama Sundar on the planet, they stood with joined palms and they offered words of praise to the Lord. Their weariness was dispelled. Their regrets were dispelled. They had no more pity over themselves, but they waxed in great joy. They were instantly refreshed. That's our method of recharging our batteries. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna is a name for God, a non-sectarian name of God. That means all attractive. And Rama means the highest pleasure absolute. When you can chant the names of the Lord with attention and with focus, you'll feel a new energy come in. You'll feel the weakness go away, and you'll feel as if you could soar as if it was on wings of eagles. The name of God and God are non-different. In the material world, you can say strength, 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 but that's not going to make you strong. You can say wisdom, 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 that's not going to make you wise. You can say persistent, 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 but that's not going to get you to mile 26 of the marathon. But on the absolute platform, the name and the substance are non-different. So when you say the name of God, you associate not only with the Lord, but with all of His multifarious potencies. When you associate with God, you haven't got to separately chase down wisdom, separately chase down strength, separately chase down persistence. Those things all come with the holy name of the Lord. So that's how we put fuel in our tanks and recharge our batteries. If we learn in the times when we feel weary and we feel like giving up, if we will simply exert ourselves to praise the Lord, that will push us past the weariness and propel us to new heights. It is said, never grow weary in doing what's right. Sometimes even as devotees or Mormons or Catholics or whatever you may be, we reach a point where I've given years to the missionary work, I've given years to establish this, I've done so much for God, now there's a sense of entitlement that sets in. Now I have to do something for myself. Now it's my time. What they fail to understand or miss somewhere along the way is that God's going to take care of you. You've gotten to this point, you haven't starved, you've got a roof on your head. Am I right? We have a roof over our head. We haven't starved. And my wife and I and all the devotees here, we've just worked on the principle that if you serve God, then He's going to take care of you, isn't it? Even in a friendship, if you do something nice for your friend will want to reciprocate. So God has the same tendencies. You serve Him, you chant His holy name, you pursue His mission, you teach about Him, and He's going to take care of your daily needs. It is said, consider the lilies of the field. They give no thought for the morrow, yet they are arrayed in more glory than Solomon in all of his splendor. So if the lilies of the field are taken care of, don't you think that those who are engaged in the service of the Lord will be amply and lavishly and richly taken care of? What do you think? Prabhupada says here, materially, when a man becomes tired by rendering service in his physical body, he is allowed retirement. But in the transcendental service of the Lord, there is no feeling of fatigue because it is spiritual service and it is not on the bodily plane. We'll simply, when we come to those junctions in our lives, not get weak, not faint, but shake off the weariness, put on a new attitude, knowing that God is still in control. If He's God on the mountain, He's also God in the valley. Here's a picture of Arjuna, green. And he's despondent. He's down. He's paralyzed. He's at the feet of Krishna. He doesn't know what to do. In fact, the words coming out of Arjuna's mouth are, I would rather die. Better the enemy kill me unarmed and unresisting. How depressed is that when someone says, I would rather die than go on? How weary is that when someone says, I will rather die than go on? And yet Arjuna was this close. He was this close to his glory. He was so close, and that's often the case, that when the weariness, when the challenge are the most intense, we're the most close to our glory. Krishna walked him through the 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita. He explained all the truths of spirituality, eternality, and dharma. And at the end of it, Arjuna dug in his heels and he said, "I've come too far to stop now. I've fought too many battles to let this one last battle keep me from my victory." It is said, trying times are not the times to stop trying. I'll repeat that. Trying times are not the time to stop trying. They're the time, in fact, to redouble your efforts. Even more recently, we have the example of Thomas Edison. He tried 999 elements before he found tungsten, the one that worked in the light bulb. Someone once asked Edison, "How does it feel to be a loser 999 times?" He said, "It feels great because I didn't think of them as failures. I thought that every time I eliminated something that didn't work, that got me closer to something that did work." He didn't see the problems, he saw the opportunities. He saw the possibilities. And imagine if he'd have quit after 900 or 950, done all that work, all that sweat, laid all that foundation, paid his dues, and then someone else comes along, tries 2 or 3 or 50 things and gets all the glory, gets all the credit like that. Why should someone else get the credit when he forged the ground? When Arjuna was hesitant to fight, he was hesitant to push past his tiredness and weariness. He needed a second wind. Krishna helped give it to him with a little bit of criticism. Krishna said to Arjuna, "An arya jushtim ashvargam akirtim karam Arjuna." Krishna said, "Aryans do not shirk their duty. Even though it may be distasteful, even though your mind may be telling, your emotions may be telling you, 'I'm too tired, I don't want to do this, let's go back home and think about it tomorrow.' An Aryan is not just someone who has a certain ethnicity or blonde hair or blue eyes. Aryans are those who know their duty and perform it no matter what the cost. If you give in to weariness, you too will be tempted to make decisions based on what you feel rather than what you know. When you feel weariness coming on, start reminding yourself that Krishna, God, is in control. He's still on the throne. He's promised us strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision." Later on, after Krishna had sojourned for 125 years on the planet, and used Arjuna as his instrument for killing all the miscreants and making life safe for the pious and the righteous people, then Krishna, having completed his mission, he went back to the spiritual world. And Arjuna was left behind. He was desolated. Krishna was his friend. Even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna had driven his chariot during the Kurukshetra War. They had sat on the same bedstead and they would tell each other about their exploits. And sometimes Arjuna would criticize Krishna by saying, "My friend, you're very truthful. I don't know about you, but if you have a good friend, a really good friend, sometimes you'll kind of enjoy insulting each other." So Arjuna had actually been such a good friend of Krishna that he insulted Krishna, and Krishna enjoyed it. Krishna enjoyed it, and now he's gone. Arjuna's like, "My life is gone. I'm devastated. I can't even lift a finger." And then it occurred to him that that person who drove my chariot, that person who sat on the bed, is none other than the creator of millions and millions of universes. He is the absolute personality of God, and he is non-different from his name. He is non-different from his instructions. So Arjuna revived himself. He got his second wind. He said, "Desha kalarti yuktani, ritap bhushamanicha, harati smaratashchitta, govindam bhitanicha." He says, there is an elixir. There's a power which is good, Desha Kalat, which is good for all time, all circumstances. It doesn't matter how down you are, how weary you are, how far you've come, how depressed you are. If you plug in, if you tap in to all the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and you do it attentively, and you do it focusedly, and you do it with love, you'll immediately feel your second wind kick in. Too often we come to a point where we say, "I can't take this anymore. I'm so run down. I'm so tired. It's too hard." Don't talk about it. That will only give fuel to your dysfunctionality. Don't talk about the way you are. Talk about the way you want to be. Have faith and have victory coming out of your mouth. The truth is that we all get tired and weary. In fact, if you don't come to points in your life when you don't feel like giving up, you got to get some bigger dreams. You got to get some bigger goals. If you don't get tired and you don't feel like giving up occasionally, it means your dreams are too small. If you never feel like quitting, then you need to set some larger goals. Here's a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam and a picture of Krishna. You are the embodiment of all human goals and are yourself the final aim of life. Desiring to attain you, O all-powerful Lord, intelligent persons abandon everything else. It is they who are worthy of your association, not men and women, absorbed in the pleasure and grief resulting from their mutual lust. We need to learn the art of focusing not on matter, not what is apparent, not the immediate circumstances, not what's facing us, not the seen, but the unseen world, which lies just behind the veil of the seen. We need to learn to focus not on the limited and the temporary, but on the unlimited and the eternal. Omar Khayyam, in his Rubaiyat, he said, up from the earth's seventh gate I rose, and on the throne of Saturn sate. And many a knot unraveled by the road, but not the master knot of human fate. There was the veil through which I could not see. There was the door to which I had no key. Some little talk a while of thee and me, and then no more of thee and me. But we have the veil. We have the key. Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, gave us the key how to penetrate through the seen to the unseen world, through the temporary to the eternal. He said, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Valochanena Santa Siddhavati Vido Vialokanti Yam Shaima Sundara Machinta Gunasharupam Govinda Maripurusham Tamahangvajami. How do we see that which is unseen? We anoint the eyes with the salve of love. Krishna Prema. It's known, people suffering from cataracts and eye diseases, things are getting blurry and dark. There are certain ointments that if they rub them on the eye, it clarifies and sharpens their vision. Similarly, if we approach Krishna and we approach this manifested phenomenal world with the eyes of love, then we'll see that which is unseen. With eyes of devotion, we'll penetrate the veil and perceive that transcendent world beyond the veil of this world of birth and death. And while we're waiting for our victory to come, learn to praise the Lord. Don't wait passively. Use your time productively. Thank you, Lord. You are bigger than any obstacle. You are bigger than any sickness. You are bigger than any debt. You are bigger than any fatigue. You are capable of renewing my strength. Chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Clearly and without distractions. Let yourself be absorbed, let go, and let God give you the second wing. I explained earlier the meaning of Krishna as all attractive, the meaning of Rama as the highest pleasure absolute. I intentionally neglected explaining Hare, which I'll do now. Hare is the female energy of the Lord. See Krishna there, and on his left is Radharani. She is the female expansion of the Lord, the Lord's pleasure potency. When we chant Hare, we're asking to be inspired by the direct spiritual energy of the Lord, rather than be inspired by material goals and ambitions and appetites, all of which are limited and temporary and are incapable of giving us satisfaction. We're asking the direct energy of the Lord to take over. And when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we're not asking for health per se, for promotion, for good grades in school. We don't try for those things separately, nor will Radharani give them to us. There's only one thing that Radha will give us is service. She will give us service. When we chant Hare Krishna, we're asking the Lord, please engage us in your service. Now, if you're in the service of the Lord of millions of universes, you will want nothing. It makes absolutely no sense to ask for a big house or a happy family situation or a promotion if you're already serving the Lord of millions and millions of universes. That's all a given. That's all a given. No need to ask for that separately. If you, through the windshield of your car, have your sights fixed on reestablishing your eternal relationship with the Lord, you don't have to chase any other benedictions now. All you have to look is in your rear view mirror. Strength is chasing you down. Good relationships are chasing you down. Health is chasing you down. Financial freedom is chasing you down. Good grades are chasing you down. Automatically, they're coming after you. So we pray for the inspiration of the female energy. Prabhupada told a story that companies, when they have two applicants for the same job and they're both equally qualified, but one's single and one's married, they'll always hire the married guy. Because being married, he has that female shakti, that female energy. He has the inspiration to do more, to go farther, to work harder, to go higher. So we chant not just Krishna, but we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, asking to come under the direct energy of the Lord and to be engaged in His service. Now some challenges we face in life seem to drag on and on and on and on and on. They seem interminable. I heard about a lady, she'd reached the age in which she had a right to retire and be an empty nester. But due to some unusual circumstances, she had to raise her grandchild. And she said, I can't take it. I raised my kids, I did my duty, now I'm looking forward to the retirement years. I can't take the thought of raising this grandchild another 15 years. I don't think I have the strength to do it. No, you can't look 15 years down the road. If you look so far down the road, you'll be overwhelmed. Take it one day at a time. Krishna is not asking you to raise your grandchild 15 years. He's asking you to raise your grandchild today. Will you do it today? Will you take hold of my strength today? He's not going to give you the strength tomorrow, today. He'll give you the strength that you need today, today. And if you take hold of that in faith and don't drain your energy and steal your joy and distance yourself from your victory, if you look at it positively, then when you get up tomorrow morning, you'll have the strength to do it another day. Someone said, today is hard, tomorrow will be harder still, yet God is kindly placed between a sunset sky, sleep's downy wings, and a dawn that sings, that we may face each day apart with tranquil heart. So Krishna is just asking you, will you do it today? Will you take hold of my strength today? Will you not give up today? Will you thank today? Will you pass the test and do it today? And when you get to tomorrow, the strength will be there. I don't know if I can do this 24 more years, but I can do it 24 more days. And take heart that whatever it is that's facing you, whatever it is that's fatiguing you or tiring you out, an end has already been set. An end date to your addiction, an end date to your studies, an end date to your relational problems, an end date to your ill health. When you're in a difficult season and weariness is creeping in and you're starting to think it's not worth it, I cannot go any farther, remind yourself, I'm not always going to be lonely. I'm not always going to be sick. I'm not always going to be in debt. These addictions are not going to plague me my whole life. Krishna has set an end. He has freedom and victory in my future. The story has a happy ending. If you keep standing, keep believing, keep expecting, if you'll not get weary, if you'll faint not, but be strong-hearted in the Lord, you'll see the end come to pass. Are you going to be a fainter or a fighter? Are you going to be a weakling or a warrior? Are you going to be a victim or are you going to be a victor? Don't go around weak and defeated saying, I can't take it anymore. If you couldn't take it, Krishna would not have allowed it. So instead of complaining, say, I can handle this. This child may be difficult, but I can handle this. This boss is getting on my nerves, but I can handle it. I'm getting older, but I can handle it. Look at Prabhupada, an old man, 7 years old, in ill health, with no money. He didn't know anyone in America. He came alone on a boat at the age of 70 in 1965. And he took it one day at a time. He figured, Krishna would not have sent me here if he had not equipped me to get the job done. Old age, I can handle it. Poverty, I can handle it. Loneliness, I can handle it. A whole continent full of hedonists and atheists, I can handle it. They're no match for me with Krishna by my side. Similarly, say in your life, cancer, I can handle it. It's no match for me. Cranky co-worker, I can handle it. It's no match for me. Depression, no match for me. Addiction, no match for me because I know the end has been set. It's only a matter of time before things turn around. The other side of that difficulty will be promotion, will be reward. God doesn't forget the trouble that we undergo cheerfully on His behalf. He rewards you at the end. He pays very, very good. So we're on the verge, we're at a crossroads, and what decision we make now will determine, in fact, our future. You may be tired, the race has taken longer than you expected, but that second wind is there waiting for you if you don't let depression settle in, if you don't let yourself be weighed down by external circumstances, if you dig in your heels and say, I've come too far to stop now. Keep pressing forward. Keep being good to people. Don't have a pity party. Keep positive. Keep stretching. Keep growing. When you face the greatest pressure, that means you're closest to your victory. Like a woman giving birth, at the point at which she can't stand it, she can't go on anymore, she's just on the verge of bringing something wonderful into the life. So don't grow weary thinking, knowing that you're close to your victory. When you face adversities, when the pressure's been turned up, you can either let Krishna see your discouragement or you can let Him see your faith. You can say, it's not fair, I came all this way, I did everything I was supposed to do, but it didn't work out. Or you can say, I can handle this, I'm well able, this difficulty means that I'm close to my victory. Your greatest tests will come when you're tired, when it takes longer than expected. You've come all the way, you're at the house and somewhere other you can't get in the door. Don't quit now. You've come too far to stop, you've won too many battles to let this one battle defeat you. Don't let a temporary feeling cause you to miss out on a permanent blessing. Keep moving forward, keep growing, keep stretching, keep being good to people. Your second wind will kick in and you'll feel a determination like you never felt before. I'd like you to get this down in your spirit. Whatever comes against you in life, you can handle it. Krishna has already equipped you full of can-do power. Keep reminding yourself, the greater the intensity, the closer you are to your victory. The end has already been set. When you feel tired, learn to wait expectantly. Learn to praise the Lord and thank Him for turning things around in ways that you may not be able to see right now. If you do this, you'll feel your second wind kick in, your strength will be renewed, and you are going to soar beyond this world of death and birth as if you are on the wings of eagles. And if you're inclined to chat with me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.